fair miss walked up the street. Some fresh fish for to buy. Little Tommy Clark got word of it, and he followed her by and by. Oh, madam, I'm in love with you, in love and almost dead. My father locks the door at night, and the key keeps it under his head. If you were up to my own wit, as crafty as you might be, you'd pack a krill to the chimbley top and then come in to me. It's up the krill up on his back, his brother along with him. They set the krill on the chimbley top and his brother let him in. It's up it woke this jealous old wife, for in her bed she laid. You'd better get up, my good old man, there's a man in your daughter's bed. Oh, no, 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 you jealous old wife, you know that it can't be true. For just last night I locked the door, and here still lays the key. It's up it got this good old man, to say if it might be true. She rolled her true love in her arms and pulled the curtains to. Oh, where are you going, my good old dad? So long before it's day, you've waked me of my evening's prayer that I prayed both morning and day. It's up it got this jealous old wife to say if it might be true. Well, something hanged her danged old foot, and into the creel she flew. This man upon the chimney top, he went to pull her up. But when he heard the old wife scream, well, he turned right loose of the rope. This man upon the chimney top, he let the creel down fall. It broke four of the old woman's ribs, and her head bent through the wall. Now you may go to your bedside and lie till your bones get well. I wish that every jealous old wife was a rockin' in the creels to hell.
I hope out of people listening. Some, if you can stir most of the people, you know, they were there, again, I come back to the bit, that the songs are there to get across to you, or to take from you, or to make you an accomplice in the fact of whatever your man has to express. If it's political, he doesn't want you sitting there just nodding nicely to. He wants you to be convinced politically as he is. He wants you to see the injustice of what he's singing about. He wants you to see the beauty of what he has to say. Or he wants you to experience the heartbreak of love or something. He's not just dallying. He's giving you an expression of his emotions. So they're more than that, you know. See, the depth of feeling in our songs, why I'm talking like this, is to try and give you some background to the songs, because the depth of feeling has to be understood in a historical context. The English have never understood the Irish, never will understand the Irish, because they're not prepared to think about what they have created or what they're doing. To do so, they would have to question their imperial system. It's been questioned all over the place, but they're just barely hanging on. They often say the trouble with the Irish is that the Irish never forget, and they don't. Somebody often said Cromwell only died yesterday. He left such an impression in Ireland of slaughter that his memory is still very much alive. My father, that'd be good to him, used to say the curse of Cromwell on you. Just a catch expression is, curse of Cranmer. He had that effect on it. But then the English say the Irish never forget, but then the trouble with the English is that they never remember. And they want to forget what they created. At the moment they are saying the trouble in Ireland is that the two sections of the Irish want to kill each other. It's not an English problem, it's created by the Irish. That's their line, they'll stick to it. Chesterton said that the great Gaels of Ireland were the men that God made mad, where all our wars were merry and all our songs were sad. But you know, he didn't understand either, because their wars were not merry, they were bloody things. And their songs are not all sad as you'd find it. He didn't know very well. I think I've probably talked enough on. I can go on talk about the history of songs and the history of our type of songs, and the various type of ballads. But I think we'll just let the ballads. When we get to the various, we can talk about the various types as we come across the ballads. The other thing, are you getting tired yet? No. The other thing is what type of Irish music we're talking about, so as you'll know. The Irish music I'm about to talk may not be what's considered as Irish music in America, although the whole attitude is changing radically. A few years ago, as I say, we exported this image of Ireland that we wanted other nations too. See, delighted that you wanted the nation to see us in, because we were a young, self-conscious nation trying to put our best foot forward. So we sent out singers such as John McCormack. Many of you know John McCormack. John McCormack was the pride of the Irish nation, and he was one of the highest paid singers of his time in the world. He was a magnificent tenor. He sang operatic arias. And he sang a type of Irish song which people began to associate as an Irish song. It wasn't. It was a song that was created for the likes of John McCormack, where he could sing at a gathering in a drawing room where you wore a dress suit, and you are in the concert hall where you could respectably go and listen to Irish music, rather than mixing with the lower orders who sang my type of songs. And that exists in some areas of Ireland today, but that's not taken from John McCormack. He was a grand singer, but he was not a traditional Irish singer. My mother taught John McCormack at the end of it all. It's great. We created this kind of a Celtic twilight where we had all young maidens dancing on the green, dressed in green with embroidered dresses. And they had black stockings, and they stood very still without an expression on their faces, and they danced up and down. And Ireland was full of those, and fairies and leprechauns, and the Celtic twilight permeated. There was a mist, Celtic mist, that covered the island, and everybody was inoffensive and nice, and John McCormack. So that was a kind of an image that was set for. Because it wasn't safe to let the actual Irishman on stage. But he did get on stage with his own crowd here in America, you know. Eventually, and now I think the wheel is taken full torque. I tell you who typified that. The Mary O'Hara, you know Mary O'Hara, with a harp, sings lovely songs. She is excellent in her own right as a harpist singing sweet songs. But that has absolutely nothing to do with the tradition or expression of the people. See, the same thing applies to music. I better play some for you. You get fed up listening to me talk. The same thing applies with the music. Now this is what would be considered as.
To learn. Irish music. The fact that it's a Moorish melody written by an Irishman, it's performed by an Irish person there, and has a rural key, and there are words to that, which would be sung by a trained singer. And if Frank Patterson was singing, you had here last winter. But you see, he couldn't let that loose anymore at a time when we were trying to play through the image. Where's the volume on this tune? Anybody know? Oh, here we are.
Exported to America. And you have what could be considered what Daniel Corkery called the hidden Ireland. While all this thing went on a certain plane in Ireland, below that you had the people singing their songs and playing their music, to which the other section of the Irish nation was oblivious. And you had this hidden Ireland, which Corkery speaks about, speaking Irish, singing songs in Irish, playing music like that. And it's not very well hidden, but all you have to do is to root a bit deeper, and it was there to be found and experienced, and it's still there. And you have now this international culture, the Top of the Pops comes into my house every Thursday night. I get Michael Jackson, and the other fella, Lionel Richie, all the boys in my place on Friday night. And my kids have no interest whatever in listening to the likes of that crap there. They won't listen to Irish music. They will, they're not anti, but they're more interested in Michael Jackson than they have it, but maybe they learn. The singing, this was the type of singing that we're talking about. Now, what have I done now? I'm right.
This was our scene that we exported. Lovely little songs that were taught by nuns in schools to children. And their own songs were neglected. The street songs that the kids sang had more relevance than this type of thing.
Whereas this one is a an expression of a girl whose lover, Liam O'Reilly, was drowned at sea. And it's sung by a girl from the west of Ireland called Kathleen Moyle. Unfortunately, Kathleen died a while ago, but she was a young girl. But this is the Irish singing. Which the hell one have I got now? Is the expression of the west of Ireland rather than the other one, and that's more of an expression, the unaccompanied singing, the wild hitting of notes, singing like that. She had a lovely style of singing, just natural style. She was a poet as well, and unfortunately, as I say, she died a couple of years ago. But in the meantime, going along with that, you were still getting the boy, Kathleen Maud. Say one of the most important singers of that time, and very important when the names would be written of that period in American singing, music hall type of thing. McCormack will come into it as one of the big men, with Caruso. He was the time of Caruso. In fact, being, you know, the way they like to see your own doing well, Caruso and John were alleged to have met one day going along. John big enough, says to Caruso, "How's the world's greatest tenor today?" And Caruso is alleged to have said, "Since when did you become a baritone, John?" But the this is a man called Darragh O'Cahan. Darragh came from the west of Ireland. He's now in England working as a builder's labourer, one of the finest singers in the tradition. Now he would be the counterpart of Caitlin Maude. And he would have been singing to the audience, the opposite audience of McCormack. He's singing a song called O Rolla Sheet of Ahawale, which is a very simple song, just a welcoming home song. Very simple song, but it's the way Darragh twists the last note in it that just gives it. Like when I learned this song at school as kids as well. Oh, Roshe de Vahawalia. You know, we would have learned. Oh, Roshe de Vahawalia. Oh, Roshe de Vahawalia. Oh, Roshe de Vahawalia. Nisher Hatan Tauri. Very good, children. And that was all I was asked, was the beat and to get the thing out clear. But this was, nobody ever said, listen to the way Darragh sings, you know.
Oh, Roshe de Vahawalia, oh, Roshe de Vahawalia, oh, Roshe de Vahawalia, nishit yachan tawara. Oh, we led yas never kvekin, maranayin goni yashaften, grain you is the milti gaishki, siya de chwagut fadmer vali. Or Roshe de Vahawalia, or Roshe de Vahawalia, or Roshe de Vahawalia,
and
he said, you're from the tower. Ta grain we like a jail or sala, oh, we are a million not fine, yagas, Christia, do I get O Roshe de Vahawalia, dar de moon I kid bo wanya. O Roshe de Vahawalia, nis it yachan tawra.
And it's just that twist.
Well, it's unencumbered by literacy, I think, too.
Yeah, it has an expression in it that You're getting into a range here. You're just moving from the narrative to where the song is relying on its phonetic effect, which is another category that you get into, the sounds in Irish singing. Because you have the Irish meter, which is internal rhyming. It becomes a big factor in Irish song. I speak with candor one night in slumber, my mind did wander near to a known. To the centre station of that Irish nation where a congregation unto me was shown. Beyond my counting upon a mountain, near to a fountain where clearly ran, the work to tremble and not dissemble as they assemble for the rights of man. You know that type of rhyming?
Was that written in Gaelic or Irish?
Well, you see, I think that is a Gaelic expression. My don love, when you sail o'er the water, take me with you to be your partner. To the fairer of market, you'll be well looked after. And you can sleep with the Greek king's daughter. I mean, that can only come from the Gaelic expression. It's not an English expression. You said you would give me, but as you talk lightly, fish skin gloves that would fit me tightly, and bird skin shoes when I go out walking, and a silken dress that would sit Ireland tall. That can only come out of the Irish. Fish skin gloves, you know, where in the name of God did you get such a fish skin gloves and bird skin shoes? You know, some symbolism, like, just out straight out of here. My darling, she told me to drink no more, or my life would be over and we'd be quiet. What I said was the drink gives me health and strength and will lengthen my road by many a mile. See how the bird, the long smooth neck could get death and touch. Those expressions are only in the Irish. That's blonde way. Or if you take Anna Coon, which tells about a drowning tragedy on Loch Corrib. He doesn't start off by into the song. His first lines are, if my health is spared, I'll be long related. You know? That's the way to open the song. If my health is spared, I'll be long related of the boat that sailed out from Anna Coon. Then he starts into his story. But he'd swear the song was going to go on for years, you know, if he lives long enough to finish it. But that is out of the Irish. I go on low my hand hard for again. I don't know if you sail or the seas, but that's translated sail or the war. Bear me hand that is not in Diarmuid. Take me with you and don't make a mistake. You know, she's really selling herself, you know. My Donalogue, you'll not find me lazy, not like some high-born, expensive lady. I will do your nursing, I'll do your milking and I'll nurse your baby, and if you're set on, I will back you bravely. You know, you don't make it like that. But then you're into phonetics. I've lost what you see, I go off around circles. You're into phonetics then, which is into this thing. This is a keen. Where they keen the dead, a person died, and they had a set method of keening, which was lamenting. And as you'd come up to the house, you could hear the keen. Women came along who were expert at keening the dead. Oh, why didn't you come when he was alive, and you couldn't talk to him, and lift his hand? And on with this keen. This was a keen that was recorded in the Ireland Islands years ago. But it's not unlike a song. It's you're getting right into the phonetics, where the phonetics are taken over as an essential part of the song. Step forward from Durrock's song into the phonetics. Oh, ho, ho. She's just a honing the loss of a husband. And that was carried forward in Scotland, where you have people, when they were teaching the pipes, they had what's known as cantharot. And they would actually imitate the sound of the pipes. Like, if you hear Maloney over there, give us a bit of that tune. Like, if you're trying to get a name, get a tune, get the air to start a tune, you say, give us a bit of that tune, and he'd go, and he lilted for you. But now there's a step further than lilting, where you actually take off the phonetics of the pipes. And they use this in Scotland for teaching the pipes. Now, it's more than lilting, it's actually imitating the pipes with your voice, you know. Vocal expression, and when you can do that, you can sing anything, and you can twist notes any way you like, and you can break rhythms, and it lets you in on various aspects of singing. You know, this business, I say, of Some songs are there just for skimming along with. Other songs are there for listening to and getting that extra pleasure. It's like, no, I'll go off onto some other bloody thing if I don't. This is a simpler expression of that, which lends itself. Their lilting in Ireland served two purposes. One, it lengthened out songs that didn't have a lot of body to them, and it lent an extra verse, just a lilt. Or lilting was often used as dancing when there was no instrument available, but not to the extent I think that it was. This is Len Graham and Joe lilting a simple tune called Molly Branning.
There's a hole in my heart, you could easily put a turn of pen, as big as any paving stone, from Dublin to the Devil's Den. Rum a diddle dum, diddle 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 diddle dum,
Now, that one is just lengthening out a little old Molly Brannigan. There's a hole in my heart, you may taste it all, the turnipins as big as all of Dublin, and from Dublin to the Devil's Glen. But of course, you'll have to get used to this, girl, because come in the lantern. I heard a version of that from the boys at Jarrod one night, and your man used to say, there's a hole in my heart, you might easy roll a torn up, and there's another in my arse, you might easy roll it out again. So it's just, when you take a little song like that, they don't put much heat on it, and they just bowdlerize it whatever way. And that lilting is different to this lilting, which was the lilting that one could dance to no bother. You'll see, hear the difference. And that's just another form of lilting.
How do you put it together phonetically?
Yeah, any way you like.
Any way you like.
Any way you like.
Does he have that all worked out? Would he do it?
No, he knows the air of the tune.
And
any expression. There is no set pattern. He's not particularly good. He's not particularly good. There are others who are much better. Whatever way it runs together, Mike, and the variations in between. Like, he has a way of whoop in the middle, and it'll come in time. That would be his little bit. Now somebody else would have something. Of an individual expression that you know it was his form of lilting. That just happened to be his. But again, you're heading, as I say, from into the phonetics until eventually you get to a stage where phonetics take over completely. And this is a song, believe it or not, called Finula. And it's just purely phonetic. But it's fascinating.
Ushing go, fiddy me, ushing go, follow me, ushing go, listen, no, I'll have a head and notice, and no, I'll get a head, you see, yelling a bone,
and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone, and a bone
Vain in fetter full the man in vain in fetter full the man in you and back on the matter vain in me gresser and adding. Now Maric Nathaniel and see
Ellen and born 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 and born
and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born
and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born and born
Urstung off, we need me urstung off, follow me urstung all, it's an all. I've had a lot of some all that I've had. Do you see?
And in the morning, 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 and in the
morning. I always presumed that was some ancient dialect
that had been. No, that's good.
It's a bunch of words.
That's good.
Words that were put together in a sort of
romantic
way.
It's dealing with Finlay's body, which was a. I often ask me all about that one, and it is put together for to get that effect, but it has a semblance of sense.
Does it have any translation at all?
I don't know. Finlay's body means Finlay's house, you know, and there are some words in it there, that, but I don't know what the gist of it is. But that has taken over. Now, other songs have that effect too. To a greater or lesser degree, just on the phonetical expression. You know, they are there. Like Kathleen Maud singing back earlier on of Liam O'Reilly has that wildness of just the expression. Some songs I sing because there are certain arrangement of notes that take me up into a street singing pattern. You know what I mean? You can get behind a note and you can really lash into it. And there's a great satisfaction out of hitting, you know, strong, hard notes. I love the hard expression of song. And yet, you'll come across the singer who has the soft, simple expression. But it's generally into love songs, the likes of Elizabeth Cronin. Sweet, soft singing. But the tradition, anyway, when I finish on this topic of it, your tradition has evolved throughout the years, like centuries, and it has moulded itself into a pattern, so it has accepted into itself levels of performance or song or music. I'm only speaking about one aspect. And to understand Irish traditional singing, you should be able to listen to an Irish air. The airs are distinctly different from the likes of music that Maloney and them will play over there. What they're playing over there is dance music. And that's even gone a step further than dance music. It's gone to virtuoso playing, rather than dance music. And that's an evolution. There is a big movement at home at the moment. For people are dancing again, all the time, and they're getting back to set dancing, which is going to force these bastards away from playing constant reels. What they play over there is reel after reel after reel after reel after reel, and then another reel. And it'll force them back. A set dance comprises four or five parts, so that you have to play a polka, a hornpipe, a jig, and a reel for it to complete the set. And this will get them back again off the bloody heels. Because the virtuosity of Irish music at the moment is fantastic. There are kids at home of 16 years old playing greater than any of the old time greats were. You know, in the tradition itself.
Well, some of the old timers are still playing in small towns to the fucking.
Oh, they're playing well.
They're very good at playing, but they just play for
them. Yeah, but they carry within them what the young crowd haven't got, and that's the essence of the tradition. You can sit there and know that they carry more than just a fiddle tune. And when they speak and when they talk, they'll talk about airs. The air is like cock came in the air. Names like that, or Sleeve Na Mon, or the Lament for Staker Wallace, which immediately draws to mind, who the hell was Staker Wallace, you know? And why the lament for him? The lament for Tomás McDonagh. And you won't find a young crowd playing the long, lamentable airs, which are like the Peabrook, if you've ever heard. The Peabrook would draw the heart out of you, you know, the good people. But the, anyway, I've gone through there, just, that's one set of the of bits and pieces that I put together as regards styles and different attitudes. You're going to meet people who will say everything I have told you is all nonsense, because they're into a different expression of the Irish idiom. I happen to think that I'm talking about the Irish tradition, the Irish heritage of music and so on. They will be talking about what I have decried there and knocked down. That would be their expression. And I used to say they're wrong. I'm not saying they're wrong. But I would emphasize the fact that you can't take the songs that I give you and sing them like I can sing them. And you shouldn't try to. You take the songs and you sing the songs as you sing them. Otherwise, we'd be all going around singing like Nicholas told me, if we had the choice. I would anyway, if I could sing like. I can't.
Who would you sing like?
Nicholas Tobin. He sings Irish songs. The Warheen, the Bala, and he's a hype, and he throws himself right up, you know. He makes the hair stand up on the back of his head when he sings.
Where is he from?
He's from Ring in Waterford. Lovely, lovely singer. But sings all in gay. Now, I warn you not to look for any formula, because there is no formula that if you apply it, you will sing successfully or you will have a correct approach to tradition. There is no formula. Each one has its own path or its own approach to the tradition as such. You just got to listen to songs and listen to singers. And as you hear the songs, you take the songs that you like and you sing those. Somebody else is singing the ones you don't. And you go through various phases of songs. I was saying earlier, my initial attraction was political songs. Oh, the more political songs I could get at one time, couldn't get enough of them. And then eventually it worked its way to the big ballads, the big lovers' discussions, and Barbara Yallens and Fair Ellens and all the rest of them, through the English and Scottish songs, and back to the Irish songs, and eventually it ends up on love songs. Well, we were talking about a song earlier on, a singer's song, first time I have something like this. This is a song that was written for a specific purpose. It was written out of bigotry. And it was a medieval type of song. It was written to create or foment hatred of the Jews. It was a song called Little Harry Hughes. There are other versions of this one, but this is the one I heard from a fellow from Derry. Oh, the rain rains high and the snow snows low behind the college wall, where all the boys from the berry green wood have leave to play their ball, have leave to play their ball. Well, they kicked it once, then they kicked it twice, then they kicked it up against the wall, and they kicked it high, and they kicked it low, and they broke the Jews' windows all broke the Jews' windows all. And then the Jew's daughter came running down, and she was dressed in green, saying, come you here, you little Harry Hughes, and we'll have another game, have another game. Well, she pulled a red apple out of her pocket and she hurled it across the plain. And little Harry Hughes picked up the red apple and he hurled it back again, hurled it back again. Then she took him by the lily white hand, led him through kitchen and hall, until they came to a dark, dark room where none could hear him call, none could hear him call. And she put him sitting in the big armchair and pinned him with a pin. And then she got a silver bowl for to catch his heart's blood in, catch his heart's blood in. Well, the day being done and the mass being sung, and all the scholars were at home, and every mother had her own wee son, but Harry Hugh's mother had known, known, Harry Hugh's mother had known. And she walked up and down the street with a little rod in her hand, saying, if I catch you, little Harry Hughes, you'll surely bait you home, home, surely bait you home. And she went till she came to the Jew's house, and the Jews were all asleep. And she went till she came to the Jew's draw, well, 'twas 50 fathoms deep, deep, 50 fathoms deep. Saying, if you be there, you little Harry Hughes, and God forbid you be, will you speak one word to your own dear mother, who is lonely in search of thee, thee, lonely in search of thee. Well, the day being done and the bell being rung, and all the scholars were in bed, and every mother had her own wee son, but little Harry Hughes was dead, dead, little Harry Hughes was dead. That's a version of, you'll find it in the church, you know, Little Sir Hugh, or the Jews' Girl. And it was, they used to say that the Jews sacrificed Christian children at Passover to sprinkle their blood or something. You know, it was a whole heap of rubbish, but it was set out for just a purpose. I have a friend, a Jewish friend in Dublin, atheist. They were saying that, Gerald says they've almost given up the practice now in Dublin, sacrificing just gifts and children, you know? But they haven't done it for years. But people believe what they want to believe, and that was just a create for that one. But there are a few versions of that, interesting versions of it. As regards the music, to finish up that table, there's a tune called Along Though. Yeah, this is the evolution of stuff. There are those who, in Ireland, who say nothing should be done with music, and nothing should be done with songs, and people shouldn't be acting things around. People can do what they like. This was a song called